The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good evening, everyone. Night two of knowing God. It's good to know God, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One gospel, one faith, one baptism, one word. One church, one family of God, one divine purpose and plan to redeem the earth and to continually have a people that glorify and praise the name of Christ Jesus. It's so good to be here. I recognize some new faces this evening. You are especially welcome. I hope all of you are enjoying your weekend. We are on the theme of knowing God. That's a good theme for a conference, but it's even better as a lifestyle. Knowing God, we are called to know God because we are known by God. Last night we looked at the complexity of that theme, knowing God. Well, yeah, we are Christians after all, but then when we looked at how complex that statement actually is, we consider the fact that we are part of a 21st century church that has the same God as the church at the beginning of the 20th century. But there's something different about what God is revealing of himself to you and I at this hour compared to where the church was at the beginning of the 20th century. Knowing God. The battle a lot of the time in knowing God is simply the partisan spirit that can be in the body of Christ. Sharing in that spirit doesn't necessarily mean we know God. It gives us an arena to love one another, know and care for one another. Even having a knowledge of the Word of God doesn't necessarily qualify you and I to say we really know God. The truth is that the moment we came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were in rightful relationship with God. We were in a legal relationship with God. We entered into a legal relationship with God by partaking in the blood covenant that Father God cut between himself and God the Son. An action that the Holy Spirit took to the earth and birthed a church, a people out of. Knowing God, we can look at that theme from a number of perspectives. Tonight we are going to pose the question, how can we know God by reflecting on the fact? To know God means we need to know the gospel. The gospel is not incidental to knowing God. If we know God, we know the gospel. To know the gospel means we know God. One is inseparable from the other. Knowing God, knowing the gospel. I believe the Holy Spirit is restoring to the church at this hour a revelation of the gospel. It needs to be so. The word is so familiar that it goes over our heads time and time again. In many minds, the word gospel has an old-fashioned, almost Victorian connotation. You can see the word gospel in large Victorian-esque letters. The gospel, to the modern mind, is a redundant term. Something to do with a movement that great-grandma was part of. But certainly not relevant to 21st century living. The gospel. The gospel. The more I say the gospel, the greater the temptation is there for you and I to just simply switch off. We are thinking, I know the gospel. Why do I need to hear a message about the gospel? But tonight, I believe the Holy Spirit of the church wants to teach you and I, expound in our inner man the reality of the gospel, that by the end of tonight we will recognize we know God because we know the gospel. The Apostle Paul made it very clear where he stood regarding the gospel. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul stated unequivocally, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first, and also to the gospel." He nailed his colors to the mast. He made it very clear, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Then he revealed the gospel is the power of God. Yeah. Nothing has changed. The gospel remains the power of God. An old-fashioned word in the minds of 21st century Minnesota, 21st century Western Europe. But the reality is this. The gospel has lost none of its power. The gospel is in mint and pristine condition. 2,000 years of warfare has not damaged the gospel. If anything, it's made it even more powerful, if that were possible. Man's attempts to say there is no God has only brought the gospel to countries that made that declaration. And the Lord smiles in those lands and said, they told me there was no God. Now I am declaring there is no communism. God has zero stress levels. He believes he is God. He doesn't have a plan B just in case the gospel doesn't work out. Just in case the enemy comes up with something he has not thought of. Just in case one of his children find themselves in circumstances that he has for once been stumped by. The gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to think of the gospel in terms of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a miracle. The gospel is a miracle because God loves us. God wants us. And he reached you and I through the gospel. Not through the hole in the ozone layer. Not from Aunt Martha, who's a New Ager. Not from a multi-faith think tank. He revealed himself to us through the gospel of Jesus Christ. For there is no other name under heaven whereby a man or woman can be saved. The gospel is the rock of offense. It's designed to be that way to get man and woman's attention. When you're offended, you're obsessed. God loves to offend the arrogance of the human psyche with the gospel, so that same arrogant psyche becomes obsessed with the Jesus of the gospel, saying, this cannot be true. Then the day comes around where the penny drops, and that arrogant psyche becomes a submitted psyche. And the person says, Lord, 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 the gospel of Jesus Christ. How does the gospel work? I find it almost impossible to explain. Yes, I have a very good theology of the human spirit. I have a very good theology of the Holy Spirit. I understand the impact of the Word of God. I know how God reaches sinful man and woman. But there's a simplicity in the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, we read the words of Paul all over again. He said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. We release that simple message into a human heart. God transforms that human heart. It's a miracle. You and I could rush around the bars and coffee shops tonight in Elk River and tell people about Jesus Christ and him crucified. No doubt many people would look at us like there was something wrong. But when the mighty hand of God works in the human hearts, that word and spirit combined impacts that human heart with the simple truth, Jesus Christ and him crucified, a sinful man and woman becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. I don't want to adopt a very narrow view tonight of how we ought to share the gospel. I concur entirely with what Pastor Dave said in his opening remarks about love being the engine of the gospel. We're called to be loving to everyone we meet, whether in church or in the community. We all know that isn't always easy. If only the world was full of lovely people. Sometimes people that are not so lovely are very close to us, and we don't like that. It's painful. It exposes our own hearts. It wounds our own hearts. Yet we're called to love all. We are called to owe no man anything except to love him. The reality is that this gospel is released in such a way that people are transformed. And for a church that moves into a seeker-friendly mode, it's good to be a fellowship that embraces people from all kinds of backgrounds. It's good to be sensitive and gentle towards people and their own perspectives, to consider the context they're coming from. In this multi-faith era, or no faith era, there's a point in time where someone engaging with our lives will discover that we believe in Jesus Christ. To say now that there is only one way to God, Jesus Christ, is no longer considered a simple religious issue, but there's a politically loaded language out there that comes towards you and I every time we dare to take that position of faith and declare that Jesus is Lord. To declare there is no other way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's a battle of battles. It's not a problem to stand up in public and talk about God. You will gain the respect of the crowd very quickly. I read in the book by Franklin Graham, The Name, that even Christian ministers are being told now not to use the name Jesus in any of their messages in case they offend. The trigger is this for you and I: to mention the name of Jesus more frequently and then multiply that and then multiply that again. Not in an arrogant one-upmanship kind of way, but we know when we confess Jesus before man, Jesus confesses you and I before the Father. It's a powerful position to be in, to have favor with God the Father when we encounter enmity upon the face of the earth. Jesus warned, beware when all men speak well of you. The very nature of walking in this gospel means that it's the rock of offense, that we become a target from the enemy, that every religious spirit, that every antichrist spirit, every secular spirit wants to find its way to you and I. The gospel, knowing God, knowing the gospel. I believe the Holy Spirit is helping you and I tonight recover the true meaning of the word gospel. I believe it was William Shakespeare that said, recover a word and discover a universe. Recover a word and discover a universe. Sometimes words are way too familiar. I know in my own life that that whole process of recovering a word and discovering a universe applied to the word love. Before I knew Jesus, I was raised with the Lennon and McCartney brand of love. I signed up for that package big time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that brand of love almost destroyed my life. And then I discovered the Jesus kind of love. Wow. That changed my life. That continues to change my life. Now I want to hold his hand. Now I know he sings over me, I love him, yeah, yeah, yeah. Occasionally, he gets a prayer from me along the lines of, help. And when I've been preaching my little Scottish heart out and falling into bed somewhere in planet Earth, I will mutter as my final prayer, it's been a hard day's night. But it's a Jesus kind of love. I see there's Beatles fans in the congregation tonight. Or maybe you're just laughing to humor me. I suspect there's a few Beatles fans out there. I only listen to them so I can preach against them. Back to the message. Obladee, oblada. Life goes on. Whoa. And the message goes on, for we are recovering a word and discovering a universe. We're recovering the word gospel. We're recovering the word gospel. We're finding God's perspective in the word gospel tonight, and it's found in Galatians 1, verse 11 and 12. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I never received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This gospel, the gospel, is from heaven. It's not from the earth. We need to separate the earth and the world and our everyday life from our immediate consciousness and realize the gospel is from heaven. It's from another orb. It's from our mother world, heaven, the realm of the spirit, that place where God occupies, rules, and reigns. That's where the gospel comes from. The gospel's tainted by the culture. You and I can even respond to the way the culture has tainted the gospel. The arrogance of the culture tells you and I we need to modify our Christianity. The truth is, the gospel is designed by God to modify the culture. There is presently a separation taking place in Christendom between evangelical Christianity and liberal Christianity. Liberal Christianity is for wimps. The world despises liberal Christians that stand for nothing and fall for everything. The world grudgingly respects a man or woman that says, I love you. I believe you have free will choice to do whatever you wish. But as for me and my household, I'm going to be governed by this word. Especially in the realms and the areas where I cannot live up to the standard of this word. I'm going to believe the God of this word. That not only will my life and my family and my household be governed by this word, but be changed by this word. The reality is, we're now having to speak into all kinds of arenas that in a previous generation would have been considered unthinkable. Now we're having to discover in the gospel a coherent revelation, a coherent argument speaking into matters domestic like gay marriage. Perhaps 10 years from now, that will be a hate crime even to use the term gay marriage. Perhaps 10 years from now, pastors will be imprisoned because the word they preach is in conflict with the law of the land, and pastors will have a new congregation on Sunday made up of Reza McGee, Shotgun O'Hara, and Life Without Parole McPherson. The enemy fears the gospel. The enemy trembles when God's people stand up and declare, I believe in the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I own this gospel. For you and I, in the process of a divorce from liberal Christianity, I believe the Holy Spirit is taking the word gospel and branding it into the depths of our spirit. The Apostle Paul said in the first chapter of Romans in the New American Standard Bible, this gospel and Jesus Christ, whom I serve in my spirit. Clearly, Paul had already gone through this conversion process. He wrote half the New Testament. He was certainly emotionally involved with the whole term gospel, with the construct gospel. God gave Paul the revelation of Christ Jesus in a human being, the hope of glory. Paul began to move in the graduated message of the gospel. But we need to recognize tonight, this isn't really a message. It is, and it isn't. But the gospel, in its purest sense, is good news about what Almighty God does in the heart and mind of a woman. The fact that Almighty God takes up residence in the heart and mind of a man and woman, boy and girl. Not hypothetically speaking, not just simply moving into a sense of religious idealism and wishful thinking, to ponder an eternal truth tonight. Almighty God abides in our human spirit. We're going to perceive the depths of that truth in our minds and hearts over the next few seconds. Almighty God abides in our human spirits. That is his dwelling place. That is the consequence of you and I hearing the gospel. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven. There's a place in heaven called mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Keep listening. The gospel carries the weight of heaven. The gospel is the eternal gospel. It's not something to act as a mere spiritual bridge. The gospel is eternal in nature. There's an angel flying in mid-heaven preaching the gospel tonight to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Angels preach the gospel and the word reaches the earth. I'm sure at times it comes through fivefold ministers, missionaries, men and women of God in the marketplace. All of that is great. But the truth, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to brand our consciousness with tonight as the gospel carries the weight of heaven. This is not a statement on behalf of the evangelical political party. But the gospel carries the weight of heaven. That's why the enemy cannot destroy this book. He has tried. If nothing else, he is consistent. He keeps trying to destroy this book. He can't. This book, leather-bound book, pages, ink in the pages, is only the outcome of the eternal gospel. The eternal gospel has produced this book in English. The eternal gospel carries the weight of heaven. We hear the word gospel. We're so tempted to think of that as an evangelistic message. We're so tempted to think of the gospel as something that brings people into the experience of the new birth. But the gospel goes way beyond the new birth experience. Yes, the gospel is a message, but it's more than just simply a message. For you and I were called to carry the message, release the message. Whether we like it or not, we are carriers of the gospel, which means we need to release the gospel. The message is complete. There's nothing more to add to the gospel. As I said in my opening remarks, the gospel is in mint and pristine condition in heaven, and it's communicated that way to the earth. The message is complete. The messenger is not. That's what stops you and I releasing the gospel. The enemy plays before our consciousness every day. The 10 most embarrassing moments in our life. The 5 most destructive moments in our life where we became mad dogs. And we think, I'm not worthy of this message. I can't share it in the workplace. The people I work beside have seen me have mood swings and go up and down like London Bridge. I'm not qualified to share this gospel in my family. They've watched how I've behaved at times when I've been under great emotional pressure. The truth is, no one is complete. No messenger is complete. We're not expected to be complete in ourselves, for we are already complete in Christ Jesus. The gospel has not only purchased our lives, but has completed our lives in Christ Jesus. And this work of completion is released into our life season after season, usually when we are at our most weakest. If you feel very weak tonight, you're in place for a new move of the Spirit. You're in place for a deeper work of completion to take place in your life. For many years, in my own calling, I've yearned to be stronger in myself. That if only I could be as strong as Pastor Dave or Bob or Reverend Edwin Gunn that I'm close to in Glasgow, Scotland, then I will be doing so much better. Then when I checked in with those guys, I discovered they're waiting to get strong as well. Yeah. It's the paradox of God. When we are strong, we are actually very, very weak. And when we are weak, we are very, very strong. The gospel is no fable. The gospel is no mystery in the sense of it's only for the enlightened few. You and I are positioned in the spirit tonight in that paradox of what happened in our lives when Christ Jesus was crucified and what happened in our lives when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and ascended to the Father on high. It means that for our walk in the gospel over a lifespan, there will be spells in our life punctuated by enormous weakness, moving us towards the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It's not a comfortable place to live, but it's in that dynamic alone that you and I are conformed to the image of God's Son. The gospel is not for wimps. We should be glad that happens to us, for it proves we belong to God. It doesn't happen to the neighbor next door. It doesn't happen to the person sitting across from you in the office. It doesn't happen to a large part of the population of the USA. Because they have never entered into the reality of the gospel. They have not gone through the inner dynamics of the gospel working in their lives. It confirms to you and I that we really are God's sons and daughters. That we carry that mark of sonship. That when we hear the term gospel, when we hear of the cross of Jesus Christ, when we hear of the work of the gospel in our experience, then it resonates. We recognize we belong to that number. The gospel is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still in the ministry. Yes, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He has a powerful intercessory ministry. Do you know that Jesus has interceded before God the Father for you and I today? That's good news. That's awesome news. But his ministry on the earth continues through the gospel. The ministry of Jesus Christ is sealed eternally by the work of the cross. Jesus works in us to work through us. The gospel is released into our lives to work through our lives. We're an integral part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. We can try and do the ministry of Jesus Christ on our own, or we can simply allow the gospel to continue to work in our lives. We need to have a missionary zeal about the gospel. We need to be convinced and live with the conviction. This is God's message for saving and transforming people. We need to be convinced that this is God's message for saving and transforming cities and nations. The gospel is a legitimate force in 21st century society. The gospel is not for a peripheral group of people that don't know any better. The gospel upholds planet Earth tonight. The gospel causes the universe to continue to expand tonight at the speed of light. The gospel is what's keeping our physical heart beating tonight. Boom, 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 boom. The gospel is all in all because Jesus is all and all. The God-man and the message are one and the same. And because of the living nature of the gospel, we can rejoice tonight that the gospel is always looking for a person or a place. We're thinking way beyond words on a page. We're looking at the gospel as a legitimate force in the year 2013. We're looking at the gospel being Jesus himself, who tonight in Elk River is looking for a person, has identified a person, has identified a place. I know the gospel identified the city of Elk River to do something profound in. The gospel always works. The gospel does not run on a hit and miss basis. The gospel is always looking for a person or place. The gospel always sows, waters, and harvests. We're not looking about man's view of God. We're not looking at man's view of the gospel. We're looking at what the gospel actually does. The gospel sows, then it waters, and then it harvests. Yes, it produces Christians, and praise God for that. But the gospel also produced Western civilization. Europe used to be built on an economy that was operated by pirates. Piracy was the norm for trading in Europe until the gospel began to move in Europe. The gospel sowed, the gospel watered, the gospel harvested. 100 years ago, Europe was Christendom. Christendom was Europe. Christianity and Europe were synonymous in the minds of people all over the world. Yes, it's true that in the human heart, the gospel sows, is watered, and then harvests another soul for the kingdom of God. We're talking tonight about something that works. We're talking tonight about something the Holy Spirit is birthing within us to release within the body of Christ a missionary zeal about the gospel. We're going to close in a few minutes. We're going to close by putting out there some devotional style questions. Unless the gospel belongs to you and I, it will remain another concept in a world full of concepts. Only this one is filed under the category of church or religion. But when it's all about you and I, when we look about at what the gospel means to you and I, we can look down a devotional lens and put a question to ourselves, like, where has the gospel taken you? Where has the gospel taken me? Think about where you were at when you came to know Jesus Christ. Then look at the journey. Where has the gospel taken you for the duration of your walk with Jesus? In my case, the gospel took me out of alcoholism and a life of destruction, but didn't leave me there. The gospel took me on a journey. The gospel took me to Bible school, universities, the nations of the earth. The gospel took me to a godly woman called Margot Wilkinson. She was the very first person I ever prophesied over. She was a stranger to me. I was absolutely astonished when I prophesied over her in October 1988 that it was actually accurate. I was poorly discipled, and shortly after giving that word, we get married. I thought if you prophesied over someone, you had to marry them. After the ceremony, I was told that was not the case, but by then it was too late. Only teasing. The gospel took me to Margot Wilkinson. She has now been my wife of 23 years. Where is the gospel? Where has the gospel taken you? Ponder that question. That's your homework for tonight. Go home, put that question before Almighty God, and begin to write and write and write and write, and don't stop writing. What is your symbol for the gospel? What do you think of when you hear the word gospel? What's the natural response of your mind and heart when you hear the word gospel? For me, it's freedom. The very nature of my conversion, being delivered instantly from alcoholism and never having to return to alcohol again, means freedom. And over the 30 years I've known Jesus, freedom has been an ongoing reality in my life. Whenever there's been a battle in my life, Jesus has always brought to me truth, and truth always sets me free. I have a symbol in my mind called freedom every time I hear the gospel. Tonight, in a sense, I've been preaching to the choir. The word gospel is no doubt familiar to 99.9% of the congregation here this evening. Yet, are we impacting the city with the gospel? Am I impacting Glasgow with the gospel? In my case, the answer to that question is definitely no. A little, but not enough. I've given up trying to do religious works for God a long, long time ago. I've retired from giving God a helping hand. I've stopped evangelizing in the flesh. It gave Christianity a bad name. I believe the only prayer for you and I to pray tonight is, Lord, strengthen the gospel in me. Lord, strengthen the gospel in me. To make that the cry of our heart day after day, week after week, month after month. Strengthen the gospel in me. That the gospel is something that we can release everywhere we go. This is a missional message tonight. Lord, strengthen the gospel in me. And then finally, praying perhaps the most costly prayer we can pray in a Christian life. Jesus, where are you for me? Don't pray that prayer unless you're willing to have your life turned upside down. Jesus, where are you for me? We discovered earlier the gospel is always looking for a person or a place. We can pray that prayer from a posture of piety. Oh Lord Jesus Christ, where are you for me? Thinking it's Starbucks in a nearby town. We have a ministry to people in a coffee shop. Or maybe Jesus will give me another job because there's someone in an office that he wants to reach. Then we hear the word in our spirit. Mozambique. We hear another word that was not quite on a script, like going to Bible school for 3 years. We hear another word, a name that causes the hairs on the back of our neck to stand up. And Jesus says, that's where I am for you. Now follow me and obey me. It's the most costly prayer that you and I can pray, but it's the most rewarding and fulfilling prayer we can ever pray. I had no idea that Jesus was in Living Waters Church for me. The 1990s in Scotland, before I was released into this calling, I would never have dreamt in a month of Sundays that Jesus was in 20 nations for me, in the lives of tens of thousands of his people for me. It takes you and I out of the realm of natural living. It takes you and I to the place of recognizing that following a supernatural Jesus releases us into a supernatural lifestyle, carrying the supernatural message and releasing this message into everyday life situations. We are entrusted with the gospel. Jesus entrusts you and I with the gospel. May we go in an inner conversion process that the gospel becomes my gospel. Paul talked frequently in the New Testament of my gospel. We need to be married to the gospel. We are married to the gospel in Christ Jesus. We need to have a world view of what the gospel does in the nations and become proud of the gospel, that it's my gospel. It was a privilege last month to minister alongside a pastor from Zimbabwe in Chicago, a man by the name of Tudor Bismarck. What a privilege to hear what my gospel is doing in his home nation. He was also thrilled to hear about what his gospel was doing in the United Kingdom. My gospel. Release the gospel. As you're led to release the gospel, a simple act of kindness means we are releasing the gospel. Telling a broken man and or woman that's at a place of desperation and ran out of natural hope with no more natural options before them, that there's one more option here, that you would be a fool to turn away. And it's a person called Jesus Christ. I'm in a time of study in my personal life presently. I'm only a year and a few months away from graduating from university. I discovered that people who came to know Jesus in the early church did so not because they were terrified of hell, but because they heard the message and thought only a fool would turn this message away. Only a fool would say no to this message. Later they discovered they were heaven bound. Later they discovered they were in something far greater than they could ever have anticipated. But the gospel, my gospel, your gospel is the force moving across the face of the earth, looking for a person, looking for a place. May the Holy Spirit that brought the gospel to you and I expound that word in our spirit over the months and years which lie ahead, that we will have a world view that's constructed on the basis of what the gospel has done, what the gospel will do, and what the gospel is doing presently. Do you know the gospel birthed education? Do you know the gospel produced hospitals? Do you know the gospel even produced and developed hotels and motels? The gospel is good news. I know I'm talking trade language, but the gospel is good news. Never allow anyone to make good news bad news. I've watched how some Christians seem to have an art of making the good news bad news. The minute anybody adds something to the gospel, it becomes bad news very quickly. Jesus plus. You can only read the King James Version of the Bible. For after all, that's how Jesus spoke when he was on the earth. You must wear a hat in your head. You cannot wear makeup. You can't do anything on Sunday except go to church. You must read your Bible every day. You must pray every day. You must wash your hands of all your unsafe friends. The minute you put a plus after the gospel, you're going the way of man instead of going the way of God. For Jesus wants to go after those unsafe friends, and you're his chosen instrument to bring the gospel to them. He wants you to read lots of translations so he can seed you, water you, and harvest out of you. If I know that my time has come, that I have minutes left to live, I want two things: to be at the front of my mind, the cross of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. I will preach my last message on the earth to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and say, very soon I will see you face to face. I am not coming on the basis of my performance when I was upon the face of the earth. I'm coming to you right now, Lord, because of the cross, because of the blood, because of the cross, because of the blood. May Almighty God raise up in the United States of America statesmen that can speak to the political establishment and say to the nation, America can only survive and be restored if America acknowledges the cross, acknowledges the blood, acknowledges the cross, acknowledges the blood. May we be a people that present the gospel in an unashamed way. May we be a people willing to be spiritual activists and to take the gospel and confront ungodly belief systems. Roast and toast the madness the enemy is pouring out upon the earth and governments are legislating for. Yeah. May we be a people that are willing to walk in the courage of the gospel as well as the anointing of the gospel. May we be a people that are willing to not only believe God that the truth of the gospel will move across this land, but that the truth of the gospel will transform the United States of America. The Lord bless you.